We're back. I think we're back, right? We're back, right? And so we're going to be listening to a clip here from Maria Z. And you're going to be listening to Karen Kingston and Dr. Anna Malicia and on how AI is exterminating humans through synthetic biology, folks. And we kind of was, we've been talking about this quite a bit. And, you know, it's happening. You need to know it. That's why we're here, to be the watchman on the wall and to let you know. Now, the second wave that they've been talking about is not people dying from the COVID, which the vast majority so far haven't really died from the COVID. It's from the so-called vax. The cure is much, much worse than the disease. But the second wave is from people that are going to be dropping dead in results of what the bioweapon that they call the vaccine. So go ahead and take it away.
Good evening, everyone. The information that you're about to hear in this interview confirms what we've been saying all along, that the COVID injections were never just about depopulation, but also about transhumanism. A genius, albeit evil genius, but genius nonetheless concoction that changes the very essence of our humanity and alters the human to merge it with machine. In my first ever interview with Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee and biotech analyst, you can find that interview on zmedia.com on the interviews page, search for Kingston, she revealed to us that all COVID injections approved by the WHO had tracking and tracing capability inside the human being. She also revealed that their plan was for a lifetime of injections, a lifetime of system upgrades, if you will. That information was directly from the patents themselves. And I really wish we were wrong, but the evidence at this point is irrefutable and it may be worse than we initially thought. In the upcoming interview, Karen Kingston and Dr. Anna Mahicha both propose that AI is in fact far more progressed than we thought and is already in control of people in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Z Media's partners are the reason that we're able to continue getting this life-saving information out into the world, which, by the way, is able to preserve natural human life if people wake up now to the fact that we are systematically being replaced by synthetic biology. So buckle up. This is going to be one wild ride. We'll be right back with Karen Kingston and Dr. Mahicha after a quick word from our partners at Survival Supplies Australia, who are helping Aussies prepare for the times ahead and supporting Z Media in the process. Don't go anywhere. Head to Survival Supplies Australia, a Z Media partner today, to prepare you and your household. They have the most comprehensive range in the country for all of your survival needs, including long life food, emergency 20-year life water, alternative power sources, and so much more. Head to the link in the description below to let them know you've come from Z Media. We're joined now by Karen Kingston and Dr. Anna Mahicha. They've both been on Z Media's broadcast before. You also find both of them featured in the recent documentary produced by the Stu Peters Network, Final Days. More and more people are growing aware of this synthetic biology term that really has been the plan all along. COVID-19 was never about anything but getting those injections into arms. But now we're talking about, you know, much, much past the COVID-19 injections, and these two women right here have been at the forefront of exposing this. Karen and Dr. Anna Mahicha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Maria.
Some of the feedback that I've had is that, you know, this is really overwhelming for a lot of people to understand. You know, we've been investigating synthetic biology for some time now. There's been so much evidence of nanotechnology in the Pfizer vials, for example, in the Moderna vials, many, many researchers from all over the world, but people struggle to understand the basics of this. I want to really quickly bring this article up for everyone. Recent advances in the MIO bio interface, a review. It's metal organic frameworks. A class of promising material with adjustable function and controllable structure have been widely used in the food industry, chemical industry, biological medicine, and sensors. Now, I won't read through this entire article, but something that Karen says, which is crucial for everyone to understand, is this is just many, many terms describing one thing.
Yeah, it's describing synthetic biology. So Within biotechnology, which is biology that mimics technology and technology that mimics biology, basically, there is synbio, and that is synthetic biology. And that is just strictly technology that mimics biology with the intentions of converting all biological life forms into technological life forms. And I sat in on a venture capital meeting about 2 weeks ago in the synthetic biology market via Zoom. And it was everything from PhD students to investors to obviously the entrepreneurs of startups. And what's alarming is that in Q1 of this year, $1.8 billion was invested into synthetic biology, specifically in medicines. We did talk about agriculture on the call. They did talk about farming as well. But the $1.8 billion in human health, $410 million was invested by the Department of Defense. The rest of the money was from companies that were already publicly traded, where they were doing, stock. They were selling the stock, ahead of time. So it was invested by, the market wasn't doing well, but because the U.S. Department of Defense invested in synthetic biology, then they got other investors to go along with it. And when the Department of Defense is investing in something, that's not for our health. The moderator on the call said, now we can have eggs without chickens and meat without cows. And he was actually very critical of ranchers and farmers and the whole industry, the whole food supply industry, where he said, we talked to them about this biosynthetic technology, and they want nothing to do with it. It's like oil and water. And he said, we explained to them what you can now have, meat without having to worry about supply chain with the cows. You don't need grass. You can grow the meat in the lab. You can have plants without worrying about droughts. You can have crops without water or worrying about sunlight. And he goes, they just didn't get it. And he goes, so we did a follow-up survey with them to test their intelligence. And he goes, these farmers don't even know the difference in size between an electron and an atom. They are so arrogant. Their hubris is beyond comprehensible. And so that's what we're looking at. And what they want to do is, again, all biological life forms, everything that is human and everything that we ingest, they want to turn into synthetic biology. And there's no questions. They're not asking about, is this going to be harmful to us? The only question is, and at the end of the call, they said, what we need to do is sell the fact that this is the environmentally safe thing to do. And if we don't convert over to synthetic biology, it'll destroy the environment. So that's their strategy. It's alarming.
We are entering the age where people worship the creation and not the creator, everything in the name of climate change and protecting the earth at the cost of the human being. I just saw on social media yesterday about, I was criticizing climate change. I had an emeritus professor from a Melbourne university on, and he's a geologist, and he was debunking climate change very, very effectively. And so, a few people who disagree were saying, oh, you people on the right are so resistant to change. No, we are resistant to this anti-human death cult that wants to destroy everything that God made. That is what this resistance is about. We don't want to be walking cyborgs. We don't want to have genetically modified bugs that present as meat to us. I mean, it really is Twilight Zone stupidity that these people want to achieve, but they are very, very much on track. Now, Dr. Anna, Karen is amazing at analyzing this stuff, and she's just been leading, really in this area, but so have you, in the sense that you've actually physically analyzed a lot of these clots, a lot of the, meat, air, vials, everything. So talk to us about your findings, and I know you've got a presentation for us.
Yes, absolutely. So historically, I've done a lot of experiments with blood, and really to answer the question, what happened to humanity's blood? And in my previous work with Clifford Carnicum, we found these hydrogel infrared signatures. So what is important to understand is that hydrogel can be programmable matter that is can be made from an inorganic or an organic substance. And it's usually made from monomers. So this is a polymer, plastic, basically, that can be created. And it's made from building blocks. And it turns out that in the C19 vials, the lipid nanoparticle technology, for example, the polyethylene glycol and Pfizer or the SM102 and Moderna, these are actually building blocks of hydrogel. And so in this particular presentation, I'm showing some new analysis of blood clots from injected individuals with the C19 bioweapon. And I just want to remind everybody that when we did near-infrared spectroscopy of human blood, vaccinated and unvaccinated, we found the functional group of these polymer hydrogels. And so this identified things like polyamides and similar chemicals to polyethylene glycol. So this was an important foundation to what we found. And then what happened was that more and more people who were getting these ozone treatments, for example, or extracorporeal hemodialysis type of stuff, where they got treatments with naturopath, they found these clots when the blood was pumped through the machine. And these happened more and more in vaccinated people. And I've also seen this in unvaccinated people. And what's been pulled out are these clots that are like rubber. And this is not like a normal clot that you can disintegrate with your hands. And so what happened then was we drew blood from three vaccinated individuals, 30 mils, and we just left the blood standing for 4 hours. And there was, if you can see here, the blood is down here in the tube, and then there is this layer that developed, and then there's a plasma on top of that. And when you look at this clot from just the visual inspection, it looks highly unusual because the blood clot is supposed to be red. So these samples were sent to me. And what is very important is that in the original sort of analysis of the consistency of the fresh clot, this is what we found. This is a little video.
That is unbelievably disturbing.
And it shows this is like rubber. It is so a normal clot would dissolve. You cannot pull this apart, which is clearly a feature of hydrogel plastic.
So, Dr. Anna, I've been told before that these are simply white clots.
No, I mean, no. So, first of all, just simply white clots wouldn't have hydrogel plastic functional group on near-infrared spectroscopy, because the spectroscopy is able to chemically analyze these functional groups. And so it's not. And this, if you see here, this is the clot that I received in formalin. You can see this white stuff and then the red thrombus below. We already know from Mike Adams, who's the only one who actually did an analysis, that this was a self-assembling polymer with metals in it. Mm-hmm. So this is what I then analyzed. And so this was...
So Karen, can I pause you here, Dr. Anna? Karen, can you explain to us a self-assembling polymer with metals in it?
So these are... what they call hydrogels, or another word for them, are pegylated lipid nanoparticles, specifically magnetic pegylated lipid nanoparticles. It's part of the mRNA technology suite. So what's happening is when people are injected with these, they're biological computers. And essentially what happens is they hijack cells, and they actually kill the human cell and then create a hybrid cell and build systems with the other nanoparticles. That's what the magnetic hydrogel is. And it uses calcium in the body as a source of energy. And it's programmed then to mimic cells and tissues, the vascular structure within the body. So what Anna calls hydrogels is also called magnetic lipid nanoparticles. It's also called mRNA technology. So what this is it's using calcium within the body. It's using blood within the body. It's using carbon, some carbon dioxide as well. And it's using the metal that's in the lipid nanoparticles to then generate out and read the genetic codes of our cells and tissues and try to mimic them. It is synthetic biology. It's the process of taking a human body and turning it into a technological life form.
And this is something that Dr. Anna Mahajer told us from the beginning, the possibility of, and you, by the way, Karen, but the possibility of this nanotechnology essentially, like you said, mimicking the human body, hijacking exactly what they tell us they're able to do, hijacking the human brain, hijacking the human body. This is what this is.
Yeah. And one thing I want to comment on is, you know, Yuval Noah Harari has talked about using the human body, like to, you know, that the business, the future economy is going to be based on brains and organs, things like that, right? Is generating. So the concept is to use the human body to generate organs or organelles. So the human brain can process terahertzes of data very quickly. And there's an article that talks about how to use this biosynthetic technology to then, you know, map out a human brain and then create copies of that brain to augment the processing power of artificial intelligence. So this is for our extermination, absolutely.
So this is helping feed AI, essentially.
Yeah, it is. And I'm smirking because these people that think they're geniuses, these evil people, they're not even the geniuses. All this technology is the what they're calling the mRNA sequences, so the nucleotide sequences, it's all generated by artificial intelligence. The creation of these molecules using cryo-electron microscopy, Relion, Phoenix, Coot, it's all done with AI. So it's not even done by humans. And they think, I don't know what they're thinking. It's to our extermination.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's even articles now coming out about the fact that AI is going to is a risk to human beings. But that is that's speaking from the perspective of you know, destroying democracy, destroying government, running everything else, eliminating jobs. We're talking about the fact that AI is literally exterminating the human, literally. And so, yeah, Dr. Anna, please do go on. But I thought. I think people have really underestimated what this all means.
Yes, and let me just explain the how the nanotechnology fits in, because, for example, in live blood, in the vaccinated and the unvaccinated people, we found these filaments. And what you can see here, so this is an analysis of the clot. You can still see the blood intact, and then there is this hydrogel plastic within it. And this is what a normal clot would look like, just of these red blood cells. And here I want to bring your attention to this filament, because this is what we've been seeing in the vials. We've seen it with Dr. David Nixon, you know, he clearly showed it to us. And then we started seeing it in the blood. And so you see this bluish fiber surrounded by blood, okay? And what I want to show here, this is a little video. And this is nanotechnology. These are the bluish fibers that also have been found in, for example, Morgellons victims. So let me show you how large this is. All of the surrounding tissue is clot. And you can see that this humongous blue fiber is going throughout this clot.
I did an interview just this week.
All righty, there we go. We are back, folks. We may just play some more of this tomorrow night, but we have a lot of stuff to cover tonight, so we have to get right back to it. And one of those things is that Carrie Lake, you know, they really did her dirty. They did her like they did President Trump, the communist, and here. She wants to take her case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. I hope she gets it there. during a rally that that her attorneys just filed a notice of appeal in her election lawsuit against Maricopa County. I told you, that county has become known. It's like Cook County in Illinois. They've become known as being so corrupt. It looks like the drug dealers have gotten in there. It looks like they've bought in every politician. and Katie Hobbs, the fraudulent 2022 election. Hundreds of Arizonans turned out on Wednesday night to see Carrie Lake, a former ICE director under President Trump, Tom Holman, speaking there at their Defend America rally. And here the Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on Carrie Lake's fight against the stolen Arizona midterm election and a recent trial and signature verification fraud after the Arizona Supreme Court remanded the claim. I mean, they've even gotten even to that Supreme Court. During the trial, Carrie Lake attorney Kurt Olson told the court 11 of the signature verification workers approved 170,000 signatures at a rate of less than 0.99 seconds with a 99.97% approval rating. Later, in closing argument, Olson revealed that there were approximately 274,000 ballot signatures compared and verified in less than 3 seconds. What do you think of that? And so despite the massive evidence of fraud in the midterm elections and sham signatures verification, Judge Peter A. Thompson again ruled in favor of the defendants, claiming that level one and level two signatures review did not take place in some fashion, folks. Again, I'm telling you, the drug cartels have gotten in there. They have the Democratic Communist Party. They'll spend whatever dirty money they have to. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the Republicans better get smart. I know here in Ohio, I know that our people are we're working around the clock. We know the Democrats by their very nature. There has to be election fraud. They can't do it by their very nature. They won't be Democrats if they had an honest election. Carrie Lake has said numerous times that she will fight her case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Lake told the crowd, "We're asking for an expedited review. We want to take this case to the United States Supreme Court." So there you go. Now, here's some other good news. And I hope she gets her case to the Supreme Court. Because, and here's the thing, too, about with Donald Trump and this coming up, this election that's coming up in 2024, if this country can last that long. I like DeSantis, too. I think DeSantis is a great governor. He's not perfect. Nobody is. And Trump is not perfect by any means either. But here, what they did to Trump, and because they're so afraid of him and because they hate him so much, this is why I'm going to support him, even though he's done some things I disagree with, but we can't let them get away with this. We can't let them get away with this. Because what they're doing to Trump, they're doing to us. All of us that voted for him, they stole our vote, folks. And again, remember what God's word, the Bible teaches, resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Now, there's some things happening on the other side. We'll get to that in a minute here. But this is huge, too. Here, the Postal Service releases final report. Contract driver Jesse Morgan vindicated. Remember Jesse Morgan? He was the driver that drove those trucks in, and he told about hauling in ballots from New York to Pennsylvania, and the communists went after him hard, and they really went after him. But Here, a report, the final report confirms he hauled a trailer of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in like late October of 2020. Now, as the Gateway pundit reported in the 2020 election, fraud whistleblowers came forward in December following the controversial election, including one witness, the shipping of an estimated 144,000 and 288,000 completed ballots across three state lines in October of 21. The new information is made public at a press conference by the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society, a national constitutional litigation organization. The Amistad Project said that they had sworn declarations that over 300,000 ballots are in issue in Arizona, 548,000, in Michigan, 204,000, and in Georgia, over 121,000, in Pennsylvania. Now, they claim that their evidence reveals multi-state illegal efforts by USP, United States Postal Service workers. Again, multi-state illegal efforts by United States Postal Office workers to influence the election in at least three of six swing states. Federal workers, folks, federal workers. But I can tell you a lot, I happen to know a lot of those postal workers, and they're with us. It goes on to say that the whistleblower statements include potentially hundreds and hundreds of thousands of completed absentee ballots being transported across three state lines and a trailer filled with ballots disappearing in Pennsylvania. Don't you remember? We were talking about this. We were reporting on this. Attorney Phil Kane said 130,000 to 280 completed ballots for the 2020 general election were shipped from Bethpage, New York, to Lancaster, PA, where those ballots and the trailer in which they were shipped disappeared. Truck driver Jesse Morgan was present at the press conference and spoke for 9 minutes about his unbelievable ordeal. Morgan was tasked with delivering completed ballots to Pennsylvania from New York State. This was an explosive testimony. Jesse Morgan, in total, I saw 24 Gaylords, or large cardboard containers of ballots, loaded into my trailer. These Gaylords combined plastic trays, I call them totes or trays of ballots, stacked on top of each other. All the envelopes were the same size. I saw the envelopes had return addresses. They were complete ballots. Jesse went on to say that he sat in Harrisburg for hours. And when he was told to leave, the supervisor at the post office would not give him a slip or an overtime slip so he could get paid. Jesse said the manager supervisor was rude. Jesse's testimony revealed the United States Post Office employees were in on the conspiracy to steal the votes. The Gateway pundit later discovered that rather than investigate the massive alleged crime, U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr, yeah, well, there you go, folks, called up investigator Tony Schaefer and killed the investigation. He never lifted a little finger to investigate this enormous act of election fraud. And there you go. We're coming up to a break.
1 minute. You can throw another.
And we'll be back right after this with more. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. right, you folks, that's, if you're saved, you've been blessed by God. All right, we have Jeff in Massachusetts. Hey, Jeff, you're in the air.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Sanders. Well, Pastor, I got a very important testimony to tell you, and it lines up with the first hour of your show. I have a friend of mine who's a police officer. He's a born-again believer. He's been a cop for many, many decades. His police department forced this poor guy to have a homosexual flag in his vehicle. This is mandated by, I'm not going to say the department's name, but mandated by the cops that for Gay Pride Month, every cop car is to have a homosexual flag in it. And here's the irony. The homosexual flag is right behind the driver's seat, and the American flag is right behind the passenger seat. Now, I got some suggestions for him. Myself, personally, I would quit that department and be gone. And my poor friend has a pension coming up for him, to him. And if he leaves right now, he only gets a percentage of that pension. Where if he stays, he'll get the full pension. And they're dangling that carrot in front of him. And he's a black guy. Great guy, great person. But here's the thing. This is what's coming more and more. And I'm going to tell you my fear. My fear is there's all this stuff being exposed by good people like yourself and other good people, both saved and unsaved. I fear that our government will pull a false flag attack and blame it on us. That's what I fear. And what I mean by a false flag attack, little bombings in minority neighborhoods and blame it on us. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, exactly. That's what they're going to do, because that's just their nature. That this is the anti. We're fighting against the Antichrist system. And remember, whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, whatever is good, is clean, and honorable, they're going to be in total opposition to it. And again, like what they're doing with these children, this is a horrible thing. And people out there, you need to get your children out of the public school systems yesterday. You really got to get them out of there. Because the Sodomites are in control there. This thing, if somebody tells me, if I don't know them, and I'm sitting and someone happens to be sitting across from me, say at a table someplace, and they tell me they're a Democrat, if I don't know anything more about them, I have to think to myself, assume, one, they're probably homosexual. If they're not, certainly have no problem with that. Or they could be more than likely pedophiles, because the whole Democratic Party now is flush with pedophilia out there, and that they've lost all morals and all values. They become totally degenerate, because there really is not a Democratic Party left anymore. It's become pure Satanism, isn't it?
Well, yes, you're right. But I have a third option, which sure. is you have a lot of straight people, both black and Hispanic and union tradesmen. They're Democrats because they're doing it for the money. They're doing it for the freebies. I mean, and they're not any of those things, but you see, freebies runs everything.
Well, they got to be some of it, because, again, being a Democrat, or you're really not what you call a Democrat or a Deathocrat. Look, if you've got no morals, okay, all of those, if you read, go over and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 8, and that'll explain that to you, because they're involved in one of those things. Or Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 25, and that'll explain that to you too.
I'm gonna say one word to you, because in my state, a lot of people who are Democrats or vote Democrats, it's like mercenaries. Mercenaries go to where the money is at, and that's a mercenary. A patriot is somebody who's in the military and fights because it's constitutionally right and biblically right. That's a patriot. And what I'm saying is, we have the voting version of mercenaries. They go to where the money is at. If there's money in it, that's where they go. And so, their conscience at the door.
Pastor, all right.
You're doing a great job, and I'll let you go. You have a good one. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, just to let you know, Jeff, Hosea chapter 4, verse 12, there's a name for that. All right, thanks. Okay, let's, folks, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Who would have thought? We have Clifford with us tonight. Hey, Clifford.
Yeah, hi. You know, I don't know if you heard this, but I was listening to an interview with Don Jeffries on the David Knight Show podcast and on his book on the covert scam and COVID scam. But within that interview, he said that the Pacific Islands and Honolulu is actually a bigger hub than the Mexican border for the transfer of the fentanyl and other lab drugs that are being mixed in. Have you heard that?
I've heard that Hawaii's got one heck of a problem with fentanyl.
Yeah, but he's saying that the Ninth Circuit, the Trump administration, tried to do something about this, and the corrupt judges in the Ninth Circuit were favoring the drug dealers.
They were referred to as the Ninth Circus.
Yeah, so that's something to look at. And then another thing on his podcast for June 2nd, about 50 minutes in, they said that some guy was coming across the Mexican border with anti-tank weaponry that appears to be resold into the Mexican market from the Ukraine. That sounds bizarre. Well, have you heard anything about that?
We told you here a year ago that a lot of those arms that were being sent to the Ukraine were not getting to the Ukraine. They were going to arms dealers who were buying them. Everybody's got the Biden crime cartel is as crooked gets, and you know, not just that. We're going to play another clip here, maybe tomorrow, but he'll show you who's involved with a lot of that corruption there. It's, you know, it's like father like son, but you got not only Biden, Hunter Biden, but Nancy Pelosi's son, and also John Kerry's son. All of them are involved in that stuff there. So, yeah, it's really corrupt.
Now, just a question on James chapter 1. It's saying, you know, don't say. It seems to be talking to church, basically Christians, in the letter. But it's talking about he who is tempted, don't say I'm tempted by God. Say I'm tempted by my own, my own heart, basically. Should the person that's apparently people in the church were saying God made me do it or the devil made me do it, should is that saying people should admit that they're the ones that are going along with the enticements and be transparent at least about it?
Well, here again, what he's making two points there. One is that God cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted at all. Jesus was God. And remember what Satan, the biggest temptation was to Satan try to tempt him out in the wilderness there. But the other point that he was trying to make is that God cannot tempt it, will not tempt anybody, okay? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so, you know, a lot of people blame. Remember Adam and Eve?
Sure.
Okay, when God told Adam, what did you do? Why did you disobey me? What was Adam's? Adam was, that woman that you gave me, God, that woman that you gave me, she's the one that beguiled me. So what did Adam do? Who did he take the responsibility, or did he say that, did he pass the blame on to God and to Eve?
Right. He didn't even say the devil made me do it. He blamed the woman and God, basically.
Yeah. So what does Eve do now? Now, she can't use that for, you know, what Adam used, right? And so she said the devil made me do it.
Right.
The devil made
so
me do it.
So he got all the bases covered there.
Yeah. But what did Satan himself do? in Job chapter 1. Satan said, look, he tried to tell God that man, that he was no worse than man, that man would betray God just like Satan betrayed God, giving the right, if the temptation was right. And so they all kind of passed it on, didn't they?
Oh, well, how do you see what Satan's saying to Job? How do you relate that to James chapter 1?
Well, and here, Adam places the blame on God himself for giving him, for tempting him with Eve, and Eve for beguiling him, tempting him. Satan is basically trying to make a point that man is, or that he is really no worse than man. That these men that people, that God has made, will betray him just like Satan did. In other words, Satan has got he knows his time, where he's heading. Remember, what was his first sin? The sin was pride, right? And what is he trying to do? He's trying to convince God that he's no worse than Job and men. And he's saying they'll betray you in a minute. If you take away, you've blessed them so much, but take away some of what you've given them, and they'll do just like what I did, right? And so what do you think?
So what do you think the individual person should do that's tempted? I mean, they don't want to put that onto the rug. They want to be discussing with the Lord, right? I mean, if they have legitimate problems with being tempted.
Well, he tells you, resist temptation, resist it, and the devil will flee from you. The tempter will flee from you. But you got to resist it, too, because it's man's, what did he say? Men's hearts were evil continuously. So it's you have to resist it. You have to resist temptation.
Right, but should you shift the blame or, say, take responsibility?
No, you take responsibility and you repent. You ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you do. I mean, and that's what Adam and Eve should have done, too. You see, Adam still had time after Eve had eaten the fruit. Adam still had time. He could have rebuked her and said, now repent of that horrible sin. Had she have done that, maybe then sin wouldn't have entered into, and Adam would have had it, because he was, you know, he was in charge there, but he didn't.
Well, I think in the book of Revelation it says, like, give Jezebel space to repent, and chapter 2 or 3, I think it's chapter 3, where they did have a little bit of a chance to repent.
Well, that was that Jezebel was a woman who was the head of an apostate church, and she was told, you know, she was warned, and she refused to repent.
But she had a chance, according to the book of Revelation. I think so. Should the person that James is speaking to in chapter 1, should they admit their problem, whatever they're being enticed by, should they at least admit it?
Absolutely.
Whatever it might be.
Yep.
Instead of trying to shrink from it, at least admit it and admit it to the Lord and help ask for assistance in dealing with it. Whatever.
First of all, you have to understand already that God already knows what you did, right? He already knows.
6 minutes. I got Timothy from North Florida.
Why you did it, but I got to move on because we got to take one fast call.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Timothy. Timothy, you got about.
I'll make it as brief as possible. I listened to everybody tonight, along with yourself, and just listening to everything that Cliff was talking about. I just, before you give the invitation, I just wanted to say we're getting dangerously close to Genesis 19, 1-29, and so you want to make sure you keep your eyes on the cross and make sure that the Lord does not. If the Lord tarries, that's another story. But if he does not, Terry, have your bags packed and make sure you're on the right side.
Absolutely, Timothy. We're living in perilous times. All the signs are there. But again, like I said, this is not a time. People shouldn't say, because I'm hearing a lot of people are so, they're so worried because they're seeing what's happening. And I can understand that. But this is the time for us to shine.
Well, you want to keep leading people to water, but make sure your bags are packed.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Timothy.
All right. Have a great night.
You too. Folks, it's that time that we get to every night. And, you know, who is this Jesus that you keep talking about? Well, he is the Son of God and God the Son. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Luke 1:35, folks, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. He also is God, the Son. That's right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, he's also the only acceptable sacrifice. He was the sacrifice that was demanded. He was the only one God would accept. The only testament sets forth in the principle that the only means of acceptance with God through sacrifice. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:10-12. This implies that his work as priest is accepted. And his sacrifice, folks, is completed. Now, I got to tell you, if you're out there listening, and right now, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, there's only one way. Now, I know a lot of you say, well, I don't believe that there could only be one way. Well, God said there is. And, you know, God is all around you, everything around you, the entire world out there, is what God has told you it is. Now, here's what I would do if I were you. I would not run out of tomorrow's tonight. Many are going to do this across this planet. Many, many people are going to die tonight. And unfortunately, most of them will have died in their sin. You don't want to be one of them. So here's what you do. You say, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you a sinner, Lord, and I deserve, according to thy righteousness, Lord, you're righteous. I deserve hellfire because I'm a sinner. But Father God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, the only one that could do it. You put your Son upon the cross, Father, and he went up there. He didn't have to go, but he did. He hung upon the cross because he was the only one that could have done it. Had he decided not to, we'd all be lost. But you put your Son upon a cross, and he suffered. Your wrath was upon him while he was on that cross. He suffered for my sins. Right now, Father God, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, you took my place, a substitutionary death. You didn't have to, but you did. And there's no way I can never thank you enough. But, Lord, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life, all of my life, in all things, at all times, without any reservation. And right now, I'm a new believer. I'm a new creature. I know you will always honor our commitment. And I will be dwelt now with the Holy Spirit. And I'm on my road to eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
30 seconds.
Come dwell within me, Holy Spirit. And folks, I hope you said that prayer tonight. And, you know, if you have, we'd like to hear from you. It would be great if you would let us know. Well, we're out of time for tonight, like we always are at this time. So, as I say every night at this time, good night.
10 seconds.
God bless. And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.